Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for holding on and supporting us, supporting our family. I'd just like to say one more thing. Our fellow brother, the Bitter Ender and me, we rode to the Battle of Charlottesville with Rich Hamblin. Well, Rich and his wife, I'd just like to say this one more time. I announce it each hour in case people are just tuning in. Rich and his wife and niece, and my little sister, they just came back from South Africa. So our prayers were answered. They got back safe and sound. They were over there visiting Simon Rooks for several weeks, and they were back safe and sound. And once again, if you're just tuning in, please keep your prayers, say prayers for Will Franklin. He's been really sick, and hope he's able to come back soon. Well, folks, as promised, and as we're all really, really anticipating heavily, the Bitter Ender himself is on tonight. He's got a little bit different fare to start off tonight. He's our professor of Confederate history, so if you will, we're going to go right back to him. It's going to be a little bit different, but it's going to be great with the way he starts off tonight. So go ahead, Bitter Ender.
Well, thank you, Eddie. Thank you for the opportunity to vary off our Confederate history program that we have every week. But this, in a way, ties into it. I subscribe to a magazine called Chronicles, and it's comes out once a month. And the title is Chronicles, a Magazine of American Culture. And this is from the December 2025 issue. And they, even though it started in Rockford, Illinois, and I think now their headquarters have moved to Frankfort, Kentucky, but they are very, very pro-Southern and very much pro-factual historical information, whether it's the South or any part of the country. And they don't give the liberals much slack at all, whether they're phony conservatives or whatever they are. And I always enjoy reading it from the back to the front. The very last page always has an article by a Greek gentleman, Taki Theodorakopoulos, if I got his last name right. It's about 30 letters long. And his column is always called Under the Black Flag. And this is a story about how he started with Chronicles. And this is going to be his last article that he's writing. He's retiring from the writing so many articles. And it says, some 25 years ago, Mark Brennan convinced me, in between judo throws, to fly with him to a small town outside Chicago where a conservative magazine I'd never heard of was given a party. And he said, I had just co-founded the American Conservative magazine with Pat Buchanan and Scott McConnell. So visiting a rival, so to speak, conservative publication was a lark of sorts. And he said, the reason I got involved with the American Conservative was my opposition to the neocons' war in Iraq, which was planned under the direction of the Israeli lobby and executed by the idiotic George W. Bush. And then he said he met there Thomas Fleming, who was the editor of Chronicles at the time, whose knowledge of history, religion, and architecture was certainly outstanding. And he said, what I also learned on the trip was that America was suffering from moral and mental rot due to too much Hollywood, too much TV, and an education system focused on the grievances of minorities. A quarter century later, not much has changed. Movies are more violent and horrible than ever, and the television programs are made for those with IQs lower than their ages. I don't use the internet except to send in my columns, but I'm told that Dante's Inferno compares favorably to the horrors displayed on this ghastly invention. The newspapers like the New York Times write about the erosion of faith in democracy because right-thinking people finally woke up and voted in an outsider like the Donald. Woke advocates are screaming bloody murder because they are suddenly on the outside looking in. Words like fascist, Nazi are thrown around like the proverbial confetti at a wedding. The left, which has been in power since the Eisenhower days, in the universities, the arts, the courts, suddenly feels threatened by a blonde real estate man from the unchic borough of Queens. The lefty media, because there's no other kind, call anyone who voted for Trump a white supremacist, And now New York City has just voted for a socialist mayor. And he closes his column by saying, "My last wish for Chronicles is to keep getting the message across to the American public. The latter deserves to be told the truth, unlike late-night TV viewers who actually believe that untalented comics tell them about their country." So that was his last article he's writing for Chronicles, excuse me. And I'm really going to miss that because he's a great writer and very sarcastic about the left and some of the things they carry on with. So with that being said, we would go ahead with some of these articles in there and give you kind of an update or a synopsis of what some of those have to say. And in the front of it, they have two or three little short articles that lead up to some of the bigger articles in the magazine. This one is called Dress Rehearsal for a Purge. It says, several weekends ago, Fox News celebrity Mark Levin addressed the Republican Jewish Coalition Leadership Conference in Las Vegas, where he delivered a tirade that is, in its blustering style, could have been given by a Latin American dictator. Levin denounced that bastard, Tucker Carlson, and that's in quotes, that was the term he used, for allowing anti-Semitic demagogues like Nick Fuentes and Candace Owens onto his podcast. He also praised the conservative movement for dumping decades ago other supposed anti-Semites, including Chronicle's columnists Pat Buchanan and Joseph Sobrin. So anyway, they're kind of calling out some of the so-called, you know, defenders of against hate speech. Then the article, the main article in there, is the Anti-Defamation League, Thuggery Under the Cover of Fighting Anti-Semitism, the attempt to rehabilitate and whitewash the ADL as a conservative ally against anti-Semitism is a farce. The ADL has been a major advocate of leftist, even far leftist, causes for decades. And this is written by Mary Graybar. And she's written quite a few other articles that were published in different conservative publications. Said Mary Graybar is the author of Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America. Another one, Debunking the 1619 Project, Exposing the Plan to Divide America. And most recent book, Debunking FDR, the Man and the Myths. So this article, though, really takes on the Anti-Defamation League and what have they been doing to divide this country and tear up a lot of things. In part of the article, it says, Elon Musk, who in 2023 had fought off ADL's attempts to censor X, called the Anti-Defamation League a hate group that hates Christians. Musk implied that the ADL was partly responsible for Charlie Kirk's death, writing on X that their false and defamatory labels about people and organizations encourages murder. Musk wrote that he believed that the FBI under James Comey was taking their hate group definitions from the ADL and therefore investigating Charlie and Turning Point instead of his murderers. On October 1st, current FBI Director Cash Patel, citing the extremist designation for Turning Point USA that the ADL had labeled them, announced that the FBI would cut ties with the ADL. Under former Director Comey, the FBI had acted like a terrorist organization against Americans, Patel had said. Jim Hoft at Gateway Pundit expressed the consensus opinion of the conservative organization. In the early days, the Anti-Defamation League was a respected civil rights group. Today, the ADL, under the leadership of Jonathan Greenblatt, has morphed into a toxic far-left mouthpiece that maliciously targets and smears any person or entity on the right side of the political spectrum. And that's a lot of what they've been doing. Not only them, but they're also talking about that Southern Poverty Law Center, or I call it the Southern Pervert Law Center, down in Montgomery. When Patel announced that the FBI was also cutting ties with the Southern Poverty Law Center, Tyler O'Neill of the Daily Signal encouraged focusing on the SPL rather than the ADL. Coincidentally or not, O'Neill has written a book on the Southern Poverty Law Center. The SPLC often acts as a sister group to the ADL. The two organizations mirror each other and have similar agendas and strategies. Perhaps the SPLC, which was only formed in 1971, copied the ADL, which is 112 years old. The ADL literature sometimes lists the Southern Poverty Law Center as a resource, and the two organizations occasionally work together. Critics who focus on the Southern Poverty Law Center point to their notoriously biased hate map of so-called right-wing extremists, but the ADL has plenty of hate maps as well. And we'll get into a little more of this after our break.
You're nailing it. You're putting them nails in there, brother. Be right back, sir.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR as hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. LibertyNewsRadio.com.
I gave you power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, Jack Ewing is really right. Real power is something you have to take. And let me tell you what, the law, all politics, political power comes at the end of a gun barrel, just like Mao Zedong was a communist SOB, but he was right about that. All political power, all law comes at the end of a gun barrel. So who's got the biggest gun? With that, go back to the Bitter Ender himself. He's on fire tonight. Go ahead, Bitter Ender.
Well, we were talking about the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center and how they attack anybody that's on the right side of an issue, the political right. And most of the time, it's the moral right as well. Another article that they had in there is by Nima Parvini, and it's called "The Zionist Politburo Cannot Purge Tucker Carlson." And that was their one of the big bragging things that they did. They got Tucker Carlson thrown off of Fox. And this is an interesting article. Just like to read a few parts of that, and then we'll go back to the one we were talking about. It said, in the Soviet Union under Joseph Stalin, there was an official party line. It was something like socialism in one nation under a planned economy. And Stalin saw to it that the deviations threatened to undermine the entire Soviet project and therefore had to be purged. Today in America, the official party line is something like unconditionally support Israel and do not criticize the fact that pro-Israeli donors dominate party politics. You just can't bring that up. That's in quotes of what their party line is. In the USSR, Stalin was able to rely on legal coercion and force using a combination of purges, exiles, and the gulag system to cleanse the system of enemies of the official party line. By 1940, particularly every opposition leader, left or right, had been executed or assassinated. It had its obvious defects from the point of view of upholding an official party line. The Soviet system had its advantages. In America in 2025, however, those wishing to uphold the official line of the unconditionally support Israel or else do not have such options. Even this upsets Mark Levin, you know, the commentator on Fox News a lot of times. As they were losing New York to a leader of the left deviation, Zohran Mandami, the Zionist Politburo was embroiled in a massive attempt to cancel the leader of the right deviation, Tucker Carlson, for the crime of having hosted right deviationist Nick Fuentes on his own show. At the Republican Jewish Coalition, Levin fumed, "We canceled Pat Buchanan. We canceled the John Birch Society. We canceled Joseph Sobran. We canceled pornography on TV. We canceled stuff all the damn time. Hitler admirers, Stalin admirers, Jew haters, American haters, Churchill haters. You're damn right we're going to cancel them and deplatform them," bragging about what all they've done. The trouble Levin faces here, ironically, is that he's not Stalin, and he does not live in the USSR. He lives, at least theoretically, in a democracy where he does not get to dictate who one of the most popular broadcasters in America speaks to or what he says. The trouble ADL Chief Executive Jonathan Greenblatt faces is that it is not Moscow in 1937. It does not matter how many lawyers you have. You cannot simply shut down any and all criticism of Israel. It's constitutional. It's a constitutional right for Americans to be able to speak freely about their own government, or how much more so about a foreign one. All through the warlike rhetoric coming from the likes of Levin, Greenblatt, and Ben Shapiro, among many others, cannot hope to be successful unless they are prepared to go the lengths that Stalin was to silence his opponents. Since it is inconceivable that Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Nick Fuentes, Dave Smith, Darryl Cooper, Jeffrey Sachs, Matt Gaetz, Steve Bannon, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Thomas Massie, and hundreds of other prominent critics of Israel are going to be sent to the gulag, purged, or executed, what is the declaration of war against anti-Semitism broadly defined supposed to achieve, other than to make an already widely disliked faction actively hated by millions of people? They brought some pretty good points in that article right there about how Levin just brags about what all he's done to get these people off the air and shut them up and not let them have any say-so. He's not much of a historian. I've seen some of his broadcasts on Fox, and then as soon as I see him kind of on, I cut to another station. He's not much of a historian. He always rants and raves about big government and how we, the government has gotten away from the Constitution, and a lot of government bureaucratic agencies are dictatorships and things like that. And then he's got a bust of Abraham Lincoln sitting right behind him. And I think to myself, Bubba, have you never read a history book? Who do you think started this imperial presidency and the federal dictatorship? It's that character in that bust right behind you there. And here you're ranting and raving about all the things that he did. And that's another thing I've noticed about a lot of these so-called conservatives, like Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and the late Rush Limbaugh. And they just, talk about the government that's too big, it's too involved in our lives and all this stuff, and rant and rave about that. And then they turn right around and praise Lincoln for saving the Union. And I'm thinking, they don't know much about history, because Lincoln caused all the problems that they're ranting and raving about. He turned the federal government into a dictatorship. And I have to ask these people the questions. Now they're giving me saying, "Well, you're not a patriotic American." I said, "Well, what kind of country is America that has to force you to be a part of it at the point of a gun?" The southern states didn't attack the United States. They just wanted to leave. And then it was Lincoln that called for army to invade the South and force the South at the point of a gun to be a part of the United States. So when just a fourth of your country wants to leave, that you've been talking about for generations, how backward they are and how inbred they are and what a terrible drag on this new expanding industrial nation, the United States of America. You didn't like them. You hated us. And then when we left, no, you can't do that. You've got to stay here. And the reason being, of course, was money that the South was paying for the federal government through tariffs and taxes on agricultural products. They don't want to mention this, but in 1860, the median income of an individual in Mississippi was higher than that of the median income of somebody in New York State because of the money that was coming into the South from the British and the European countries purchasing cotton. And they were export crops, while the Midwest was growing basically grain crops like oats and wheat and corn and things like that. So the hypocrisy of their history is really not too surprising, because some of these fake conservatives, they talk a good game, but they don't back it up with much historical fact. So we will get back to our original article, our main article that we were talking about. And it brings up some points here about Charlottesville, where you and I both were. This is that article by Mary Graybar in Chronicles Magazine, The Anti-Defamation League, Thuggery Under the Covenant of Fighting Anti-Semitism. It says, and I want to come back and get some of this. To the Anti-Defamation League people, Foxman and Wolf offered as solutions ADL's models of anti-bullying education and hate crime laws, advocating harsher sentences for crimes motivated by hate. Well, how do you define that? They were proud that at the point, 43 states had enacted laws similar to or based on the Anti-Defamation League model. And I know, as much as I admire him as a governor, Ron DeSantis of Florida has been traipsing over to Israel, two or three times a year to get his instructions. And they're trying to put laws in place in Florida that you cannot even criticize Israel. It's not. And to me, there's a difference between criticizing a policy of a foreign country and going out and saying you hate people that are Jews or hate people that are Baptists or Catholics or whatever. There's a lot of difference between just criticizing the foreign policy of another country and going after individuals that had nothing to do with that. But that's how they try to tie all this together. But following the suicide in March of 2018 of a 34-year-old Andrew Dodson, the promising engineer and scientist who peacefully participated in the Unite the Right protest against the removal of Robert E. Lee's statue in Charlottesville, Virginia, in August of 2017, which we were there, the ADL had nothing to say. Counter-protesters attacked Dodson and then mercilessly doxed and smeared him on social media and national television, ruining his reputation. Nor did any of the ADL tear their shirts in grief over prejudice when 37-year-old January 6 protester Matthew Perna committed suicide in 2022 while awaiting sentencing for what was essentially trespassing. J6 protesters were abused by guards, put in solitary confinement for months, and denied healthy food, heat, and medical care when they were in prison. The Anti-Defamation League, of course, said nothing about that. And just this Wednesday, we had a couple of men that were in prison for being there on January 6th, and they didn't do anything. They didn't tear up the Capitol. They didn't attack the guards. They were just there. But it was an attempt by the government to shut up anybody that speaks out against the empire. We'll pick it up after the break.
Yes, we will. Be right back, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. The U.S. carried out large-scale strikes against ISIS in Syria. According to U.S. Central Command, the strikes took place around 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and were part of Operation Hawkeye Strike ordered by President Trump in response to an ISIS ambush near Palmyra on December the 13th that killed two U.S. soldiers and a civilian interpreter, U.S. officials said. Rulers in Tehran are now threatening to execute protesters who call for the overthrow of the government, accusing them of committing a crime against God.
Demonstrations have included cries in support of the Shah, something that could bring a death sentence in the past, but now underlines the anger fueling the protests that began over Iran's ailing economy. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio posted that the U.S. supports the brave people of Iran. Separately, the State Department posted a warning to Iran saying, quote, "Do not play games with President Trump. When he says he'll do something, he means it." I'm Lisa Dwyer.
President Trump has threatened to intervene in the event Iran harms peaceful demonstrators. Public policy expert Matthew Continetti has some advice on how to help the people of Iran.
I think the most important thing we could do right now is work to restore internet connectivity to the Iranian people and to allow the Iranian people who are rebelling against their government, this tyranny that's ruled them since 1979, to connect with one another and with the outside world so we could get some explanation of what's happening.
President Trump says he wants a one-year 10% cap on credit card interest rates. It's an idea that revives a campaign pledge and could save Americans tens of billions of dollars. But it's drawing immediate opposition from an industry that's been in his corner. The president wasn't clear. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-682-3311. That's 800-682-3311. 800-682-3311.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Oh, Blood River Radio family, I appreciate you hanging on. We've only got 30 more minutes left of this 3 hours, believe it or not. I'll just make a quick comment. Me and Gene were talking about during the hour how our brave brethren, these Zionists, these Jews, if they were so confident in their beliefs, if they were so, you know, secure that they were right, why won't they come on shows or broadcast like Blood River Radio? Why won't they come on and debate the issues on a free and open, a free, a level playing field? Because, see, they won't come on Blood River Radio because they can't control the mute button. They can't control the mic. They can't twist what we say. We have an article here, a newspaper in Memphis, Shelby County, called the Memphis Flyer. Probably the largest newspaper in Shelby County now. It used to be the Scripps Howard Commercial Appeal, Scripps Howard Press Scimitar. But we've invited them on several times to debate the issues. They labeled Blood River Radio as the number one hate group in the state of Tennessee. But they will not come on. No way. We can't drag them on this show to debate. What they like to do, they like to debank people. They like to force you out of make you lose your job. If they can't, make you lose your house, just like this Levin clown. Anyway, that's what me and Gene were talking about during the break. But go ahead, Gene. Hope I didn't interrupt too much, brother.
No. That's fine. That's a good point you made there, Eddie. That's how the lunatic left works. They can't debate you on historical facts or factual information. So the news media, the news nerds, and the prostitutes in the media, they can publish whatever they want, and they will not allow a conservative person on there to counteract or counter whatever they're saying. They have the control of the whatever they want to publish, and they don't have to allow anybody else to speak. And then that's why they won't come on a conservative talk show or a podcast or anything like that, because they can't control that. As long as they control what they publish out on little, you know, local, you know, CBS affiliate, WW0 or whatever their station is, they can just control whatever goes out over that station. And most of the people, like they said in that other article, that watch television for their news, you know, they have an IQ less than their age. They don't know any better. They're not going to go out and read alternative news sources and really get the facts on what's happening. So it is a pretty well, you know, controlled environment. If we talk about the Soviet Union and how terrible things were there and everything, well, they control the news. The communists control the news. And now we have the people in this country, and you look at who owns the television stations, the national networks, NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox. They're all controlled by the Jews. So that's the only kind of information you're going to get. And of course, they're going to encourage the Jewish army going into Palestine and killing Lord knows how many civilians and children and starving those people to death. And if some other country did that, boy, they'd be crying and hollering to the UN about boycotting whatever country that is and getting them thrown out of the UN and sanctions against their country. But, you know, the Israelis get a pass on it because the news media is controlled by the Jews. So it's hard to get outside information in. And that's why I like a lot of these magazines and publications, newspaper like the American Free Press, and how they give both sides of an issue and talk about the conservative issues out there that get no play on the national press at all. We're going back to talk about picking up in this part of the article, the place where we were at Charlottesville. This guy Greenblatt, that was head of the Anti-Defamation League, in Greenblatt's view, the Unite the Right rally made the, as he says, the awful demons of 20th century hate rise again. Although those at the ADL were repulsed, dismayed, and terrified, they were not surprised. The ADL had been following online chatter among the so-called alt-right. They alerted local and state authorities about possible violence and had posted public warnings about it the week before the rally. Indeed, the ADL, August 7th, 2017, post warning that Unite the Right rally could be the largest white supremacist gathering in a decade. So if we get together, we're white supremacists. If the blacks get together, that's fine, or the Gay Pride March or the whatever, that's okay, or Hispanic Month or anything like that, that's fine. But if our people get together, it's something terrible. So anyway, it helped draw white supremacists to the rally to mingle with those like Dodson and organizer Jason Kessler, who we both met, who were neither white supremacists nor anti-Semites, as well as Antifa and Black Lives Matter counter-protesters. Antifa, though, according to the Anti-Defamation League, is nothing to worry about, just a loosely organized left-wing and anarchist anti-racist movement. And the ADL stood enthusiastic solidarity with Black Lives Matter after the death of George Floyd. The independent HEPY report, H-E-A-P-H-Y, on the Charlottesville events reveals that the Anti-Defamation League provided the police department with an event assessment, which discussed the scheduled groups and speakers, as well as the split between white supremacist groups and the Oath Keepers, a self-styled neutral peacekeeping militia. Jason Kessler, a local resident, opposed the proposed removal of the statue of Robert E. Lee in downtown Charlottesville, which made sense to us. Lee was a Virginian. The statue's in Virginia. Why would you turn on one of your own people? But the lefties didn't see it that way. In an effort to initiated by city leaders through the Blue Ribbon Commission on Race, Memorials, and Public Spaces, the city council's decision to accept the commission's recommendation and remove the statue was challenged in court, and the case remained stalled due to the Virginia state law protecting war memorials. After the 2016 election, city leaders declared Charlottesville to be the capital of the resistance. And Ann Wilson Smith's book, Charlottesville Untold, offers an even-handed account that relies on the HEPY report, contemporaneous articles, videos, transcripts, and interviews with participants. In her telling, Antifa and BLM first assaulted Unite the Right protesters with bottles filled with urine, feces, frozen liquids, burning chemicals, and other weapons while the police stood by. And boy, did we ever see that. When we were trying to come up Market Street and just get to Lee Park, we got attacked about two blocks before we ever got to Lee Park. So, and of course, the police did nothing about that. That slimeball mayor and his darky affirmative action police chief told the local cops to just stand there with their thumbs stuck up their rear end as long as Antifa was attacking us. That was fine. But if we had, gone after them and chased them out of there, then guess how many of our people would be arrested? And those were the only people that were arrested were people from Unite the Right.
You know, Jim,
anyway.
I remember seeing, before we even got to the park, before we even got in there, I remember I felt so bad. One of our guys, young guys, I'd say 20-ish or so, he was just in incredible pain. The BLM, the Antifa, whatever, they had sprayed some kind of a chemical in his eyes. His eyes, it looked like they were going to melt out. And that was just one on one occasion, one person had that done to him. I remember.
Oh, I saw a lot of people that they had over there under that tree line pouring milk in their eyes trying to get that burning chemical out of there. They had some nurses that knew pretty much what they were doing. And I guess they'd been somewhere where they'd seen Antifa operate before and carried enough milk and syringe, sterile solutions to try to clean out people's eyes.
That
happened to us. And nothing was said about that. That was okay. So anyway, the lack of police response led to the chaos that resulted in the death of Heather Heyer, the 300-pounder there that probably died of a heat stroke rather than being hit by a car, who was run over when she and her fellow leftists swarmed the car of 20-year-old James Fields, who panicked. Fields received a life sentence after pleading guilty to federal hate crime charges to avoid the death penalty. This was part of a deal authorized by then U.S. Attorney General William Barr on June of 2019. Then they go down to talk about they combined Charlottesville and January 6, provided a bonanza for the ADL. Orrin Siegel, vice president of the ADL Center on Extremism, bragged in congressional testimony that the ADL provided expert and financial support in the federal civil rights cases that were filed against the people that organized Unite the Right. They didn't organize a fight or a brawl. That was brought on by the Antifa and the BLM. And we played by their silly rules. We got a permit to be there at the park from 11 to 1. We were there and then got attacked. But there were no charges ever brought against anybody that attacked us. It was always our people that had to go to trial. We'll wind it up after the break.
Yes, we will. I'm going to mention Tiki Lights when we come back. Bye bye, folks.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Dear Blood River Radio family, something just dawned on me. I was just telling the bitter ender that, can you believe this is going to be, this August will be 9 years since the Battle of Charlottesville. Next year, this time next year, we'll be planning on our, we'll do a special 10-year anniversary of the celebration of the Battle of Charlottesville. It seems impossible it was 10 years since you and I were up there, Gene. What an absolute! That was a watermark, a historical landmark in United States history. People all over the world were hanging on their seats, watching the news reports coming back from what we did. We participated there in Charlottesville, Gene. Proud. I told my grandson that I said, "Your papa always in the we're in the history books, buddy." So we were in a that was a gigantic historical event. I'm really sad. It seems like since Charlottesville, we've been our whole people, our movement have been shut down. You know, it's just really sad. I wish there was some way we could revive it. But anyway, I guess I'm just getting sentimental there, Gene. But go back to you, Bitter Ender.
Well, and we were talking before the break. The ADL said that Charlottesville in January 6th provided a bonanza for the ADL. Orrin Siegel, vice president of ADL Center on Extremism, bragged that in congressional testimony that the ADL provided expert and financial support in the federal civil rights case against Jason Kessler, brought against the neo-Nazis who organized that rally. And I never saw anything there that had any kind of Nazi symbol on it or anything. And they just throw that against you, like they threw that against Trump. You know, said he was another Hitler, he was a neo-Nazi. And that's the only thing they can come up with, because they can't argue with the facts. A web resource page, January 6, 2021, insurrection, boasted how the ADL had signed on as co-counsel in a civil lawsuit against Proud Boys and Oath Keepers. The January 6th effect, an evolution of hate and extremism, so they called it, provided a map showing where hate and extremism go mainstream. They let us know on January 8th, and it said, extremists react to pro-Trump siege on the Capitol, and denied that Antifa had infiltrated the protest. Never did the ADL mention that peaceful protesters were ushered into the Capitol building by Capitol police officers, nor the incendiary devices thrown by police, which caused the stampede leading to the death of Roseanne Boylan, who was beaten by a Capitol police officer, as she lay on the ground immobilized. Less than a week later, the ADL, in a post entitled Far-Right Extremists Memorialize Martyr Ashley Babbitt, attacked those accusing the media of anti-white bias with posters claiming against all evidence that police use unnecessary force against the U.S. Capitol protesters while showing far more restraint against Black Lives Matter and other social justice protesters. The ADL objected to the casting of Babbitt, an Air Force veteran who was shot by a Capitol police officer, and she wasn't trying to get into the Capitol or anything. This guy just panicked and fired a weapon and killed this young lady. And they protested that she was shown as an innocent victim of law enforcement and the government. Well, anyway, that's what they thought about January 6th protest. Then they talk about Travis and Gregory McMichael down in Georgia were railroaded in a George Floyd-era show trial in Georgia. The ADL issued statements about how they provided help to the government in crafting state hate law crime legislation. It may not matter that Travis acted in self-defense when a 25-year-old Ahmaud Arbery, a mentally ill, drug-using, multiple felon, tried to seize Travis's shotgun. The ADL, however, welcomed the sentencing of father and son to life in prison without the possibility of parole, and thanked Attorney General Garland and the Justice Department and the FBI for working to bring us closer to justice, is their quote. Those supporting an appeal were just labeled as white supremacists. They also went on to say that these groups that are concerned about the flood of immigrants, criminal immigrants coming into this country, and who is supporting all of this, are also termed to be anti-Semitic. Any criticism of George Soros, who is a Jew, his real name is George Schwartz, any criticism of George Soros for his funding of left-wing activist groups is a sign of anti-Semitism that lurks behind right-wing ideas. Oh, boy, here we go. And in the conclusion, Ms. Graybar says, no other leftist organization has had as much influence on the American government for as long as the Anti-Defamation League. For about 100 years, the ADL has engaged in spying, harassing, and smearing what they call right-wing extremists, who they claim are the source of political violence. Never mind that we got attacked when we were just going to Charlottesville to speak up in defense of General Lee. We were attacked before we even got to the park, but we were the extremists. Unfortunately, the ADL's assistance that it is combating anti-Semitism has allowed it to escape the critical scrutiny that has been applied to the left's other hate organization, and that needs to change. And I thought that was an excellent article. Like I said, it was in the December issue of Chronicles Magazine, which is a magazine of American culture, the subtitle, and well worth reading if you can get a copy of that online, or I've subscribed to it. They have such good writers. I enjoy every time that comes in every month and seeing what they have to say. So there are sources out there for getting information, going online. A lot of these posts, like I said, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, the post from Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is in Congress, and Thomas Massey. And it's depressing to see how our government is lined up against these people that speak out against these Jewish hate groups, like the ADL and like the the Anti-Defamation League and the AIPAC that have bought our politicians and brag about owning our politicians. Now, Thomas Massey, a representative from outside Louisville, Kentucky, will not take any money from the AIPAC or the ADL. And boy, they've branded him this something worse than the devil himself. And even Trump now is trying to get somebody to run in the Republican primary against Massey. And I think they were trying to do the same thing with Marjorie Taylor Greene. She said, I'm not putting up with that, and I don't have the money to fool with that. I'm just not going to fool with this idiotic nonsense anymore. She's not running for re-election. So they will get some, you know, somebody with puppet strings attached to them that'll do whatever kind of bidding they want and go in there and just be basically a foreign agent for a foreign country, Israel, which is against the law. You have to register as a foreign agent. If you have dual citizenship in this country and you're working for a foreign government, you're supposed to register as a foreign agent. But that doesn't seem to bother any of these people that are these Zionist super Israeli supporters. They can get away with pretty much anything. So I hope that will open some of our eyes for our listeners this evening and give them some information on what's going on behind the scenes. And we will try to get back to our Confederate Hour in 2 weeks from tonight. I'm going to be gone next Saturday night. I'm speaking at a Confederate historical group down in Wetumpka, Alabama. I'll be down there. And then we'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll get us back on the track for our Confederate History Hour. But I thought reading all this in Chronicles, I just thought it was some interesting information we need to throw out there and tell our people what's going on behind the scenes.
So I hope they learned the scene of the crime. That's where that's where Rich Hamblin. I went down, me and Lee Cochran. He was one of our co-hosts, bless his heart. He's deceased. He died. He was more fun. I tell you what, if you never went on the road with Lee Cochran, you don't know what real fun is. But anyway, we went down there, and that's where Rich Hamblin, and we were short on money, and Rich Hamblin kind of strong-armed me to join the League of the South. And I said, well, we're short on money this time. I don't know. You know, I hope we have enough gas money to get back. He said, well, you said you were going to join. You said on the radio, TPC, you're going to join. I said, well, I am, but, you know, I don't know if we got enough money to get back. Oh, so, well, your word's no good then. I said, well, okay, by God, we'll join the damn League of the South. And he was just a rich, strong army, and he shamed me to join the League of the South there. And that what Tumpka says. He said, yeah, you're turning to the scene of the crime. But that's where it all started with me. Me and Lee went down, and we broadcast to TPC. James, something come up with him, and I said, well, I'll go down there, and I'll broadcast. And so me and Lee Cocker went down there. We broadcast the Political Cesspool radio program down there. That was the first time I was ever there. That's when I met Rich in person. I met Simon Roach was down there. Of course, the Dr. Michael Hill. I'm sure you were there. We had a howl time down there. Good old Wetumpka. I have special feelings, good feelings about Wetumpka. But
well, good. I guess I'm just good. They have a historical center there. It's a nice building. I've been down there before, so kind of looking forward to go back down there. So we'll be on the road next Saturday night, but be back in 2 weeks.
You got to tell you what, the ADL be laying for you down there, brother. You better watch out.
Oh, well, good for that. Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson will be laying for them, too. So, fun time.
You be's a Zionist, anti-Semite, hate monger, homophobe.
Well, since I'm retired, they can't get me fired from a job, so go for it.
Well, I tell you what, I've really enjoyed having you on tonight. I wouldn't take nothing. I wouldn't take straight all the tea in China for you. Thank you so much, Gene. Thank you so much, Miss Teenage America. Thank you, Blood River Radio family. Listen, God willing, next week will be the 17th, same time, same place. And Gene's going to be gone. We'll have to get somebody. We'll have to get the second or third stringer in to take Gene's place. But y'all, be here next week or be square. Good night, everybody.